driving within the speed limit on a clear day, you can reach this church in just over an hour. It is the Church of St. Mary and All Saints in Kidderminster. Into that church, many years ago, was a preacher who'd been an army chaplain during times of civil war. A man who was imprisoned for his faith. A man who was intensely spiritual, perfectly natural, absolutely practical, and whose life was summed up in the words sanctification, visitation, and proclamation. Sanctification because he prayed, "Lord, make me as holy as it is possible for a redeemed sinner to be." Visitation because every week without fail found him at the fireside or at his fireside with men and women of his parish. And proclamation because every time he preached, he said these words, "I preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men." His name was Richard Baxter. You can read his book, I commend it to you, The Reformed Pastor. Today, as we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 to 5, I want you to hear exhortations from Paul to Timothy. Here they are. Number one, preach the word. Number two, stay the course. Number three, win the lost. And number four, fulfill your ministry. Can I remind you that the Apostle Paul is on death row? He is awaiting execution. Before Timothy receives this letter, his head will have rolled down the Appian Way. It costs for him to be a Christian. He is writing his last will and testament. And in chapter 4, we have the last words of the Apostle Paul. That should rivet your attention. Any Bible-loving person would be riveted to the text. He starts by saying to Timothy, "This young man, pastor of the church at Ephesus, to whom he has passed on the baton, preach the word." Number one, preach the word seriously. "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." Timothy, I want you to be a proclaimer, a herald. A caruso means to herald, to lift up your voice, to gather people together, rivet their attention on what needs to be said. I remind you that those of you who know a little bit about your history and who are taken up with Robin Hood will have watched a film whereby the crier of King John will go to a place and cry out, "You must, in the name of the king, pay your taxes or else." But then there will be another occasion when King Richard returned home, when the announcements would be, "King Richard has returned. Let's all have a party." The herald was to stand and proclaim. I want you to preach the word and proclaim the word seriously. This is not, Timothy, a piece of advice I'm giving you. This is not a hint. It is not a suggestion. It is a charge. It is a solemn charge. It is a divine charge. It is an eternal charge. "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and kingdom, preach the word." Do it seriously. Do it conscious that you are an ambassador of heaven, an agent of omnipotence, a mouthpiece of the divine. Don't come before the people before you've been before the face of Almighty God. and preach as one who is God conscious. The God who is omnipotent, the God who is omniscient, than the God who is omnipresent, who fills the heavens and the earth. Preach as if you're in his presence. And preach because you're an ambassador of Christ Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the sent one, the Savior. And preach remembering that one day you will stand eyeball to eyeball with the King of Kings and answer to him and to him alone. He is the judge of the living and the dead. And he will come and appear. He will appear as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The graves will be open. The dead in Christ shall rise. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Preach the word seriously in the presence of your Creator, your Sustainer, your Redeemer, your Judge, your King. Preach the word faithfully. Faithfully. Be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word, Timothy, knowing that there will be seasons when you will fly and seasons when you'll feel as if your legs are like lead. Preach the word when you feel like it, and preach the word when you don't feel like it. Preach the word when the congregation are riveted and responsive. Preach the word when people are dismissive, critical. Preach the word when you're appreciated. Preach the word when you're not. Preach the word in days of peace and prosperity. Preach the word in days of persecution. Be faithful. And remember, it is the word you're preaching. You're a proclaimer of the word of the living God. That word which is sacred. That word which is saving, those holy scriptures that sanctify us. Preach that word and preach it faithfully. Be faithful to the truth of scripture. And not only so, preach earnestly. For we read, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Timothy, you're not there to tickle people's ears. You're there to reprove, rebuke sin. The work of the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of the word is to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. When a man or woman needs reproving, Timothy, let the word do it. It's not your personality. It's not your opinion, it's the word. When a person needs correcting or rebuking, putting back on track, let the word do the work. When a man or woman or young person needs encouraging or pleading with or wooing or exhorting, let the word do that work. And you be earnest and urgent in reproving and rebuking and exposing and correcting and encouraging and pleading and urging people to be submissive to the written word and to know him who is the living word to reign supremely in your life. Preach the word seriously, faithfully, earnestly, and lovingly. With complete patience. Complete patience. Timothy, remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke simply and clearly and directly. Remember, he spoke briefly but powerfully. The story goes The sower sows the seed. It goes into the ground. The birds of goes onto the top of the path. The birds of the air swoop down, snatch it away. Then it goes into shallow ground. It grows up quickly. It looks the real thing. But the moment difficulty, persecution or opposition comes, it shrivels up. Some of it goes deeper. It looks as if it's the real thing, but it's choked by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And then that fourth seed grows and grows and grows and grows and bears fruit and more fruit and much more fruit. And you will need patience, and you will need love, and you will need to allow the Holy Spirit to allow the word to take root in a man or woman's heart, and for that seed to produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, and faith. To produce conversion. To produce repentance and faith. To produce that growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Preach the word seriously, faithfully, earnestly, lovingly. And preach the word doctrinally and teaching, verse 2. And verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Paul has already urged Timothy in 1 Timothy to watch out for false teachers who don't keep the main things the main things. They want to bring their higher, deeper, greater knowledge, this Gnostic gospel. It's myth. It's legend. No, the time will come when people will have itching ears. They'll be wanting to listen to their favorite preacher. And they'll go from church to church until they find something that suits them. No, don't be like that. That time is coming upon you. They won't endure sound teaching. They will accumulate for themselves teachers only to suit their own passions. They're going to turn away from listening to the truth. They're going to wander off into myths. No, you have doctrinal substance. You have true teaching. The teaching of the word. I think I told you the other week that as a young pastor, these were the things I was taught. When you come to a passage, there should be exegetical accuracy. There should be doctrinal substance. There should be vivid illustration. There should be clear structure. There should be pointed application. There should be spiritual urgency. It should be Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-dependent, and an expectancy of God to speak through his word to the people. Another method of looking at scripture which I was taught was this. Number one, scrutinize your passage. Number two, crystallize your theme. Number three, organize your outline. Number four, prioritize your points. Number five, modernize your illustration. Number six, economize your words. Number seven, personalize your application. Number eight, finalize your sentence. Number nine, agonize for unction. And number 10, evangelize your hearers. There must be doctrinal substance. Preach doctrinally. Teach the word. Teach the doctrines, the teachings of the word. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who said the following: gospel ministers should thunder in preaching and lighten in conversation. They should be flaming in prayer, shining in life, and burning in spirit. Imagine that. Imagine people preaching with that sort of character. This is what John Calvin said. Every time the gospel is preached, it should be as if God came in person solemnly to summons us. Preach the word. seriously, faithfully, earnestly, lovingly, and doctrinally. Number two, stay the course. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering. Verse 5. Stay the course, Timothy. Be sober in mind, serious in outlook. Expect and endure difficulty, hostility, opposition, and suffering. That is part of the course. I remind you, Timothy, you're not going to be called as an orator. You're not going to be called as a wordsmith. You're not going to be called as an entertainer. You're not going to be called as a pulpiteer. You're not going to be called as an actor. You're not going to be called just to engage in rhetoric. You're called as a preacher of the gospel. And as a preacher of the gospel, serious-mindedness, sober-mindedness, and enduring hostility, difficulty, opposition, and suffering is going to be part of your ministry. This is not a ministry for quitters. Endure. Suffering. Always be sober-minded. Always be on your toes. Always remember what's expected of you. In fact, do you remember that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and made it abundantly plain just what he had to face? He says this, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeyings, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. You wouldn't be quickly enlisting into the ministry which Paul exhorted Timothy to remember he will have to face. If they crucify the Lord of glory, they will crucify his ambassadors. Stay the course. Endure and don't quit. Number three, win the lost. Do the work of an evangelist. You remember Pilgrim's Progress. Here is John Bunyan's masterpiece. Here is Christian on his way from the city of destruction to the celestial city. Who does he meet? He meets evangelist. What does evangelist tell him to do? Evangelist tells him to make his way to the cross. That at the cross, his burden will be rolled away. So do the work of an evangelist. Win the lost. C.T. Studd said, some like to live within the sound of church and chapel bell. I'd like to run a rescue shop outside the gates of hell. I read this week a sermon. It was preached in Keswick 2 years ago. It was preached by Rico Tice. It was on the doctrine of hell. I was struck by an illustration he used right at the very end. It said this, simply, if you want to go to hell, you will have to climb all over the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God had one son. He was a missionary. He was an evangelist. He was a lover of the souls of men. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Do the work of an evangelist. Not so long ago, I was told by someone who lives in this city, every time I've been to Bridge Chapel, I'm so impressed by how many leaders you have. Not only so, but how many preachers there are in Bridge Chapel. It seems as if lots of the preachers go to lots of the churches within the city preaching the gospel. And then we find out that there are people from Bridge Chapel who are now leading churches throughout the city. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You know, we shouldn't be threatened by that. We should be encouraged by that. Absolutely. Oh, that all were proclaimers of the word. But it's one thing to preach a sermon. It's another thing to win the lost souls of men and women. Is there a budding preacher here? Is there an aspiring preacher here? Why aren't you seeking to go and plant a new work somewhere? Why aren't you seeking to proclaim the gospel? Why aren't you seeking to win the lost? Why don't you get on your knees before God and pray that God will give you men and women to win for his kingdom and cause? Do it. There is no higher, there is no greater calling than that, is there? Win the lost. And number four, fulfill your ministry. Finish the course with your heart on fire for God. As we shall see next week, he will say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Fulfill your ministry and mark it, complete it, autograph it with excellence. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. If no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back. I will fulfill the ministry God has entrusted to me. Will you? On Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, I had tears rolling down my face for almost an hour. There are lots of reasons why the tears were rolling. But the specific vehicle by which those tears roll was watching the funeral of Billy Graham. Hearing the testimonies of his family, saying that their dad was a man of integrity, saying that their dad was a proclaimer of the truth of Jesus Christ as Savior of sinners. The President of the United States was there. The whole world was listening. One of his daughters said that she would proclaim the coming of Christ. Another one of his daughters, by the name of Jean, said this: Can you imagine what it's like to be a daughter of Billy Graham, the world's most famous preacher? She said, my marriage went through terrible difficulty. It ended up on the rocks and then it ended up in divorce. How do you go and tell Billy Graham that you're about to be divorced? Not only so, I then fell in love, head over heels, in love with someone else. And this relationship was going apace. My mum and my dad said, please slow down. But I didn't. I ended up marrying him. As soon as I married him, I realized what a complete mess I'd made. I was frightened and fearful. What am I going to say to my daddy? She got in the car. She drove to her home. She got out the car. And there was her daddy wrapping his arms around her, embracing her, saying, welcome home. Never mentioning her mistake. Friends, pray. Will you? Do you want to take some application? Pray. Pray, number one, fervently for the heralds of the cross. In this church, in the churches of this city, in the churches of our nation, in the churches of our world. Pray for spiritual ears, not itching ears. Pray for persevering zeal. The Christian life and the Christian ministry is not a 100-yard sprint. It is a marathon. Pray for soul-winning skill and for a soul-winning heart. He that wins souls is wise. And pray for excellence of life, of purpose, and of ministry. Why? Because you and I have been entrusted with the gospel. And we have heard a joyful sound. And here it is. Jesus saves. So let me speak to you, not the person next to you. I know, and you know, it is perfectly possible for you to be an elder of this church and not converted. A deacon in this church and not converted. A member of this church and not converted. A Bible-carrying, church-attending, gospel-singing person and never been converted. Not really, not savingly, not irresistibly by the Holy Spirit. But today is the day of salvation. And there is a sound. It is this sound. Jesus saves sinners. Isn't that good news? And he saves religious sinners. That's good news. Whoever you are, wherever you are, come to him. In the Billy Graham movement, they sang this song. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he beckons you. It is no secret what God can do. Come to Christ. Come to him now, wherever you are, whatever your burden. Put it at his feet and be born again of the Spirit of God. Let's stand and sing.